Acts chapter 15, and we're going to finish the chapter tonight. I was hoping to get to verse 10 of chapter 16, but that's going to be an entirely whole different other message that the Lord kind of just had given me something in here. And so today we're going to be looking at a couple of different issues from this portion of scripture reading, handling conflict and God's will. So if you recall, we last left the disciples after hearing of the concessions regarding the Gentiles and not having to go through circumcision in order to be saved. The disciples returned to Antioch to deliver that message, which was good news, along with the four concessions regarding not eating meat sacrificed to idols, to refrain from sexual immorality, also from eating strangled meat, or the consuming of blood, drinking blood. And then in verse 31 of chapter 5, it says, when they had read it, the letter, they rejoiced over its encouragement. And I'm so thankful for that, because I can just see them, picture them there waiting in anticipation for this ruling to come back. And they're saying, all right, everyone, guess what? You don't have to be circumcised. Yay! Anyway, I would be. So, but we also saw Judas and Silas themselves being prophets. They also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words that were there. And the church at Antioch was in pretty good shape. And so, because of that, Judas headed back to Jerusalem, and Silas stayed there in Antioch. And in verse 35, where we left off, we saw Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Now, I'd have to say that one of the great highlights of this chapter was how the Jerusalem council was able to settle a dispute the way God's people should. Right? With humility, with sacrifice, with understanding, and with love for one another. This has got to be the epitome of the Christian life, being reconciled through Christ and being reconciled to each other. Because it shows the desire of each of God's people wanting, needing to work things out for the glory of God. And we know that the disciples who were concerned about God's people, they genuinely have a heart to reconcile with others, no matter what the issue is. And one thing that we need to keep in mind, that when we see Jesus on the cross, there is no offense that we've either experienced or will experience that is as difficult as that was. Nothing that we will go through in this life could be as hard as that. And if you remember, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's hard to remember when you're being wronged, isn't it? Or is it just me that thinks that? No, when you're in the midst of being wronged, it's hard to say, oh, Lord, forgive them. You know, that's like, Joel Osteen attitude. Oh, this is your best life, and praise the Lord. And no, it hurts. But the bottom line is they were able to reconcile that. And the Jerusalem Council is successful in bringing peace to what could have been a very serious split between the Jewish and the Gentile believers. I love that. They worked it out. Because that's what the Word of God says. When God's people can get together and to be able to mend things together. If you're taking notes, Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I love that, because you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see eye to eye on everything, right? But we can live together in unity. So we pick up in verse 36, to finish out our chapter, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we've preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. And now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take it with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, and he had not gone with them to the work. Verse 39, and then the contention became so sharp, they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Interesting verses. We touched on this. I brought it up when we were in chapter 13. The idea is living together in unity, and it takes every effort of everyone's part, doesn't it, to do that? All of us. It takes humility, and it takes courage to admit when we don't have it down. And so often in the Christian church, people will put out there that facade that we have it down. And the truth of the matter is, none of us do. We all have little faux pas within us. At least I know I do. Now, I'm sure regarding living in unity, I'm sure most of you no doubt have heard the story about the castaway who was shipwrecked on an island. When he was discovered by a search party after several years, they found him safe and secure. When the explorers began looking around the area of the island, they noticed that he had built several buildings. And when he was asked what they were, the castaway said, "Well, that building there is my house, and that one over there is my church that I attend." And when they inquired about the third building, he stated, "Oh, that is the church I used to attend." And like that castaway, we too can become so stubborn that we intentionally or internally isolate ourselves from seeking reconciliation, partly because it takes work. And sometimes we just are afraid how it's going to come out. But in our verses today, we see that very thing with Barnabas and Paul. And it brings me to the title of this message, Keys to Conflict. There are some keys that we have that we can use to be able to get through conflict in our life. As we read that, the passage started off in a very positive manner, didn't it? The disciples had been pouring into the Gentiles in Antioch. They were doing some very successful ministry. There was building up. There was encouraging of one another. And the church began to grow. And the Gentile believers were in good hands. They were having a great time. And this was a very successful ministry. And then verse 36 says, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city.'" Now I want you to hang on to that word, visit. He says, "Our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." I like that. We see here the true heart of a shepherd in Paul. They both have spent some time there in Antioch. And it appears that everything is calm. Everything is kosher. It's copacetic. Everything is going well. They just come back from the council and everything is doing great. Some writers say that this is now about 3 years after Paul's first journey. And so no doubt Paul, from his many journeys, had to have been a guy who was kind of antsy. If I was going to send you an email, but in your Bibles, you all have, I'm sure you have, the three missionary journeys that Paul went on. And if you go through those, and I'll do it next week, I'll send it to you if you don't have it, but I'll have you look at it and you see exactly how busy he was. He was busy. He couldn't stay in one place. The first journey was pretty extensive. The second one was even more so. And the third was even greater than that. I think there was 16 churches that they planted. There was 18 that they visited, so they planted more. And on the third trip, I think it was like 22 or 24. He didn't just sit around. And I think Paul was kind of an antsy guy because he didn't have a problem. What he didn't like was status quo. He didn't like the way things, that's because that's the way we do it. It's time to move on. And he brings up the thought to Barnabas. And he says, "Hey, let's go back and check out the folks we brought to the Lord." I said earlier that word visit, it doesn't mean that they're just going to go and have tea or coffee and crumpets or whatever it is they ate during that time. They weren't just going to go, "Hey, let's go visit," kind of like our family does with us, right? They come for a visit, they hang out. The word visit there means they were going there to actually see just how much they had grown spiritually. They weren't testing them, but they wanted to go and see what was going on. And so if you recall, in their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas received a call from the Holy Spirit. Remember that? The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Paul for a work that I have for them." Because God had placed a strong burden on Paul's heart this time. It was kind of like a divine impulse, if you will, to move out for God based on the concern for the saints. God does that. He puts that on a person's heart. He didn't have any vision at this time, as we've read before with Peter. And as we're going to see with Paul next week, there was no spirit-directed call. There was no angelic appearance as he saw during his Damascus endeavor. And there's no divine intervention, so to speak, okay? There's only a deep concern of Paul and then Barnabas for the people whom they had led to Christ. Paul tells Barnabas, let's go up there and check them out, man. We'll see how they're doing. They apparently couldn't shake this divine urging, and they moved out for Christ to confirm the saints or to go see how they were doing. And it's important to note, this was not an evangelistic trip this time. That was the first trip. This one was now to go back and strengthen the churches that they had already planted. Regarding God putting something on your heart, you got to do something. You don't quite know what it means, but you know you have an urging from the Lord. Has anyone ever experienced this before? Anything? Yeah. Yeah. Anybody want to share it? Ooh, that's different, huh? Yeah. You know, I'd have to say for Linda and I, think about it for a minute if you want to share it. But I have to say for Linda and I, it's always come in the way of a stirring in our hearts. People have often asked, how did you guys know it was time to move from Arizona to Los Baños to do a work there? And then how did you know to leave Los Baños to come here? I shared with a lot of you before that it happened when we were on a respite one time after the death of my brother. Several months had gone by, and then I found my mom and dad, we were going back and forth to California. And that was great then, because at least I could visit Tony, because every time I went there, I could visit him. Went on a motorcycle one time, which was fun. Not for him, but for me, it was fun. But I get a chance to do that. But in this one particular time, my brother had already died, went back, and we got called again. My mom and dad were sick, no less, because my mom was on the third floor of this hospital, and my dad was on the fourth floor at the same time. They're divorced, so obviously I had to go deal with two separate families, but at the same time, they were there. And so it kind of weighed on us a little bit, weighed on my heart. And I told Linda, normally what I do then when I was in California is I would sneak away to Monterey. And that's about 2.5 hours, maybe three from Fresno. 2.5?
Three.
3 hours from Fresno. So we slipped away and we went to the coast. I figured if I'm going to come from Arizona to California, you might as well go the extra 3 hours to go to the beach. And so on the way there, we passed through Los Baños. And as I shared with a lot of you before, in the past, there was only two reasons you stopped in Los Baños. On the way to Monterey was to get donuts at this fantastic donut place, huge donuts. And on the way back was to get these huge burritos, both on different sides of the street. This time, Linda and I drove through there a little bit. And when we were there, I had this feeling, and I know it had to be the Lord. I sensed that this town is hurting spiritually. And I didn't know what that meant, but we went to Monterey to pray for ourselves, to get refreshed, to decompress. And I threw in the prayer for the people of Los Baños as well. And so when we came back to Arizona, turmoil had taken place in the leadership. It was just going whacked, and found that I was going to be removed from there. Well, I should say removed myself. Linda continued working in the children's ministry. And over a period of time, things began to happen where the Lord started moving things, where I got a phone call saying, hey, are you interested in coming to Los Baños to plant a church? I'm like, no, but I'll certainly go help someone. I don't want to plant it. So the Lord made a way for us to go there. And I will say this, it was through pain that it got us out of Arizona. There was pain involved. But I know now, all these years later, that God was the one who allowed that pain. He's the one, I'm not going to say he orchestrated it, but because I don't sense God that way. But he says, oh, they're going to do that? Okay, I'll do this. You know what? I want you to go to Los Baños. And what happened as a result of that, the church was planted that is still there today and still going strong. And it is so nice because we got to see all along the way God moving. And it was through pain. We see that here in our chapter today. Don't think that Paul and Barnabas weren't going through that. But one of the things that we need to do is it's important for us to know that once we have discerned that we have a divine urging from God, you can't wait any longer. You have to do it. Okay. You can sit there and just let it go, let it go, let it go. And quite frankly, you might miss out on the greatest blessing that you can imagine. We must move out in faith, and God will be with us in the matter. And he gives us further clarification of his will. Now, I can remember at that time when we left, good, well-meaning friends were telling us, you know what, don't leave. And it's nice to be wanted, trust me. Some of them would say, I don't think this is of God. when your own friends are telling you that, then you have to ask yourself, who are you going to listen to, God, or are you going to listen to your friends? And obviously, God was the one who was right. Even some of the people that caused the pain actually came to us and said, this is not of God, that you should go. Don't run away. See, and all of a sudden, I began to see the enemy coming out. That was a clarification, by the way, that I had to go. And as a result, as I said earlier, church is there. And they're doing real well. Back in our study, Paul and Barnabas apparently didn't have to seek further authority from the elders at Antioch for this new adventure that they were going on, since they were already given that the first time they went out. However, we assume that they did have the elders' blessing to move on. Think about that. They're losing Barnabas and Paul, and they're going somewhere else to do a work, right? Or they're going out somewhere else to encourage. That tells you the Church of Antioch had enough people, enough helpers to sustain what they needed there, and they were free to go. Now, I want us to hang on to that phrase. It was God's will, because we're going to see that played out in a little bit, primarily next week. How do we discern God's will? Anybody often wonder that? Anybody ask that question? I know sometimes people come to me, Al, how do I know if it's God's will for this? Anybody ever gone through that? We'll get to see it. And I'm dying to hear how you knew it was God's will. And so the thoughts planted, and then we see just as it is out, verse 37. Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. If you recall, earlier I said that in chapter 13, we saw this situation. But I want us to go a little bit deeper now for an application for us today. It amazes me how the Holy Spirit prompts Dr. Luke to write about this disagreement that's coming up. And I'll explain that a little bit later. But now we see that both Paul and Barnabas are not on the same page as far as John Mark is concerned. Look at verse 38. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, it's important to know that whenever the Lord is about to do a big work, the devil is right there to attempt to destroy the work of God. And anything that God's ever allowed me or brought me to do, I've always seen the enemy there. He's always there. And because God uses mankind, watch this, because he uses men and women to carry out his work, he's using imperfect people. Okay? It's important for us to know that. Barnabas and Paul had a disagreement over John Mark, who had deserted Paul and Barnabas on the first journey. And if you remember, in that study, I said that Paul took that personally because he felt that John Mark deserted them. He needed him, but he deserted him. Now, I can tell you this, in ministry, when you're doing things and it's a tough road sometimes, and when people just up and leave you for whatever reason, it's painful. Even if you never say it is, it's painful. But obviously, because John Mark was Barnabas's nephew, it had to be pretty hard to kind of push away those family ties. I could see why Barnabas wanted to take him with him, okay? He's a young guy. And we all know how hard it is to be objective when our family is involved, right? If our family, we're gonna side with them no matter what. However, Barnabas, being a man full of wisdom, saw the potential in Mark and wanted to give him a second chance. And Paul, however, didn't want to take the risk again, having Mark jump ship on them again. If you recall, we did look at why Mark deserted or came to some ideas why Mark deserted them. We can't be for certain because it didn't really tell us, but there are several suggestions, if you recall. One was that he came from a wealthy family and he was pampered. He even made the comment he's a mama's boy. One of them was that he became homesick. Anybody ever felt that before? Homesick? Yeah, I have. I know I have. When you guys were in the military, when you were there, I mean, did you get homesick? Like the first quite a few hours you were there, like, what am I doing here? And all of a sudden, that home that you hated or that you didn't want to be around looked real good. I'm like, I want to go home. Maybe that's where that song came from. I don't know. Which one, Roy? I want to go home. Oh, Just kidding. He might have been homesick, or he was not able to bear the perils and the rigors of pioneer missionary work. I can tell you this, being a pioneer, being a trailblazer is not easy. I liken that to when we are going out to up in this area here where no one's ever walked before. You darn well better have the right equipment on when you're walking through those briars, right? You're blazing a trail for somebody else to go through. We walked up there the other day, and the cat's following me. And I look behind, I go, lucky you, following in my footsteps. I'm crushing everything down. She's just like, just keep going. John Mark probably wasn't used to that. Or he disagreed with Paul's theology and maybe conflicted with Paul's personality. Paul was a very rough guy. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But Mark was very devoted to his uncle. And when that leadership change happened, the missionary group shifted. Remember, it was always Barnabas and Paul, and then it became Paul and his company, right? It probably upset Mark. We don't know, but we do know this. He was a young man. He was inexperienced, and he failed because he had to sort out his gifts as a Christian. But he was young, and he failed. And whatever it was, Mark left Paul and Barnabas, and it didn't sit well with Paul. And for Paul, he wasn't willing to go through it again. Now, I can relate to that with Paul. I've experienced that. And it's very hard to give somebody that's done that with to you another chance. But look at verse 39. It says, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and he sailed to Cyprus. We're going to take a little closer look at this verse. And we see much more than just a disagreement. Now, it was an all-out argument that went on and on and on. Here's why I say that. The words contention and sharp, this is interesting because they're the exact same Greek word. Contention and sharp, the Greek word paroxysmos. And it's where we get our English word paroxysm. What is that? A sudden attack or violent expression of a particular emotion or an activity. The word contention means a heated disagreement, an assertion, especially one maintained in argument. So they were getting it on. The word sharp, of course, having an edge or a point that is able to cut or pierce something. Think about that for a moment. As they're going back and forth, they're using words that displayed that they were angry with one another. Words can be cutting, can't they? Especially in an argument. You ever said something that as I can remember saying something to Linda one time, as the words was tumbling out of my mouth, heading towards her, it's like I wanted to reach and grab it and bring it back, and I couldn't. The Holy Spirit was right there. Do not say that. And immediately you apologize. But the word's already been said, right? G.K. Chesterton, an English writer and a lay theologian, from 1874 to 1936, he said this, the worst thing about a quarrel is that it stops an argument. There's no more arguing once you get to the quarrel part. These guys were arguing and arguing. And it's fine to argue, but sometimes when the argument becomes a quarrel, that's something else. And this was sharp contention. And no doubt others heard it or were around, and most definitely it didn't glorify God. Quarrels like that never do. And as a result, they decided to go their separate ways for the time being. And so Barnabas left, and he took Mark, and he wouldn't change his mind. Now, they sailed off to Cyprus, and so Paul chose Silas, and they decided to take the land route, as we're going to see, and go around the horn, so to speak, and go back by the way of the churches that they've been ministering to. What you see in there is the imperfect goodness of good men here. These were good men, but they were not perfect. They were imperfect. And if you're wondering why I'm spending so much time on this portion of our verses, because it's important for us to learn from it. Now, we remember in chapter 11, verse 24, Luke calls Barnabas a good man. He says he was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord as a result of his ministry. So now this is the last glimpse of Barnabas in Acts, but it's not the last glimpse of Barnabas in the New Testament. We're going to see that. It'll come out a little bit later in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Some people say that this was the end or the ruin of Barnabas' life, but I don't think it was because Paul brings him back up again. As to suppose that they're doing ministry again. And he indicates that he appreciates Barnabas very much. But they just had differences of opinion over this. And it turned into an argument. And they decided to go their separate ways. And it's sad to note that we have here is the first split, major split, between Christians. And it has to be two of the most notable men in the church. What does this show us? That even the apostles were human. They had feelings. And they had their own way of doing things. Did they make mistakes? Of course they did. However, there may be several underlying reasons for this division. We got to look at it in its totality. Why did these guys, it's easy to read it and say, man, that's sad. These guys couldn't act right. And most definitely, we can learn from this if we'll just apply it. Look at the difference in both of the men. One writer says, just by what we know in reading Paul's letters, we discover that Paul was a natural leader, self-sufficient, independent, decisive, opinionated, goal-oriented, idealistic, ambitious, cool under pressure, courageous, determined, and success-oriented. Think about that. And because Paul was not too sensitive to the feelings of others or lacked compassion for others, he was intolerant of the mistakes of others and may have held a grudge against Mark. The writer goes on to say, Barnabas, on the other hand, was a man who was noted for being cool, calm, collected, easygoing, well-balanced, felt deeply for people, kind-hearted, and sympathetic. Barnabas was very easygoing, and this probably drove Paul nuts at times. See, when I see it that way, I can see two entirely different people. There was obviously personality differences between these guys. I recall Barnabas is a man who will go out and set things right, set things straight. If you remember, I think we're going to probably see it in a couple of chapters, he goes out and he rebukes Peter and Barnabas when they withdrew from fellowship with the Gentiles, bringing about Christian legalism. But he got in their face. He says, I withstood Peter to his face because it wasn't right. And he seems to be that Paul would be a guy that didn't have a problem going to others to point out their error. By way of application, you might be called to do that sometime. Now, I will tell you this, do not volunteer for that position because it's rough. When you have to go and set things straight, God may call you to do that. But what we need to remember is that if we do that, we need to be able to be people that can receive it as well. Okay? We should never intentionally go out to do that. We need to wait for the Lord. So who was right in this controversy? That's been a question that's been asked for 2,000 years. People have tried to answer it. And we all have a bias. Some will side with Paul. Some will side with Barnabas. This other guy says, could it be that both were right? Paul was looking at the work of Christ from a long-range perspective. Barnabas was looking at the person of Mark from a short-range perspective. Paul did not want to take the risk of defection by Mark, for the whole ministry was at stake, and I totally understand that. Paul believed that missionaries had to be tough and knew that the ministry was demanding, and those who undertake the ministry should be prepared to go through it and stick with it to the end. I understand that. I can see Paul doing that. I can't tell you, you also may have experienced this yourselves. I cannot tell you how many times I've had people come to me and say, I believe the Lord has called me to this work, to do this. And you pray with them, and you're like, okay, well, as long as I don't have to be involved in it, but you pray with them, and then when things get rough, what do? They quit. They stop. And I said, you told me God called you to, well, I think he called me to this now. So who's the one that's jacked up, you or God? God doesn't make those kind of mistakes. So Paul, being that hard charger, he doesn't want to take Mark. Paul was, if you would, hell-bent on going out and sharing the gospel, no matter how hard it was. He didn't like excuses, and he didn't like quitters. Barnabas, on the other hand, was a compassionate man. Now, can you see where both of those fit together perfectly in a fellowship? You got one that is able to handle something that another one is not able to. They would work together. But Barnabas, no doubt, was looking at the young man, Mark. It was his nephew, but he was young. And I think he saw Mark's potential and his gifts and his abilities, and he wanted to give him a second chance. He knew that Mark had failed, but who hasn't? All of us need a second chance at times, right? We need an opportunity to prove ourselves after failure. How many times have I failed God? Times that you don't even know about. And it's probably the same for you as well, though. Aren't you thankful that God gave you, gave me a second chance? A third and a fourth and a 9,000th? But oh, how hard it is for us to do that for others without holding it against them. You know, in a way, I feel bad for Barnabas. I understand Paul, but I feel for Barnabas in a personal way. And it's so sad because if you remember, Paul owed Barnabas more than any other man. I don't think Paul forgot, but I think Paul was just so hard charging. If you recall, back in chapter 9, verse 27, Barnabas was the one who persuaded the apostles to receive Paul and to give him a second chance. Remember when Paul was out there preaching the word and there was no converts? The disciples were looking at him like, who is this chump? Barnabas was the one that took him and said, guys, you need to give him a second chance. And how weird it is that Paul now is acting this way, but I understand it. Paul and Barnabas made a great team and they balanced each other out. You know, this might be a shock, but not all Christian leaders think the same. I am so different from Gino, the three of us that were in California, or Richard, and they're so different from each other. But our relationships worked because of this passage. We had studied this. We had looked at it and said, how did they handle these things? We didn't always see eye to eye, the three of us. We didn't. I can remember sitting in our living room on Willow Way, and we're going at it. I mean, I have this thought. You know, I think we should do this. And Gino is, and Richard and I are going at it, and Gino steps in, and he gives us a couple of words. And don't you know that as a result of that, there was a contentious argument that went on, which ended with us laughing at ourselves with each other. And it was so neat because they all allowed each of us to be who we were. Linda didn't like I was going to do this, but one Christmas, Miranda gave us coffee mugs. And they were like this here. Matter of fact, Connect. That was the church coffee mug. And on the back of the mug, it says, the pastor of. And they shared and they wrote what our character or what our quality was to them. For Richard, it was the pastor of love printed on his cup. For Gino, it was the pastor of encouragement. For mine, it's the pastor of wrath. But no, not really. I was that guy. Now, I certainly didn't take any great pleasure in that. That's why Miranda put no, not really. But I was. Because planning a church is not easy. It's very hard because the enemy is always working against you. And I don't know if you have been in that situation. It doesn't have to be planning a church. You ever been doing something and you felt like something's just working against you? No matter what you do. Poor John Cain, John and Miranda, for those of you, I should have mentioned that in the praise report for Blair. Well, when Blair gets sick, they got to go to the hospital. Now they're both sick in the hospital. They look pathetic in the hospital. The nurses are coming in, taking care of their baby, and they're both lying on a couch, sick. Well, before they got to the hospital, though, John's water main busted in his house, and he had to patch that. And then when he came back, all kinds of stuff was going on with him. All hell broke loose for him, and it was just really crazy. It doesn't have to just be ministry. It could be life. And you feel like somebody's working against you. But when you plant a church, you definitely have an enemy working against you. You know? Sometimes when differences are so great between two Christian leaders or two organizations like that, separation is required. And I'm thankful that that wasn't the case for me and the other pastors from California. We didn't part that way. That's why I could text them today. And I have to be careful when I text them when I'm studying, though, because it just goes on and on and on. We just joke with each other. But I want us to look at something here. Could it be that God graciously overruled them? For it was his secret will for Barnabas to take Mark to Cyprus and for Paul to take Silas to Europe. It would never be God's will for his people to divide in such a sharp controversy. Their quarreling was not right. It was sin. And they had to deal with that. We don't read that. We don't see that. But remember, they both witnessed how the Jerusalem, this is what really gets me going. They just witnessed how the Jerusalem council had handled controversy of circumcision. They both were witnesses to that. You know, that being said, there are times when the Spirit of God does cause Christians to go their separate ways. I've seen that. I've been involved in that, and I know what it's like. But if at all possible, and as much as possible with you, with me, we need to separate with each other's blessings and not contentiously. It should always be in love. Sometimes you have to just leave out of love, the love for other people. You don't want to affect other people. When we left Arizona, it was that way, down and out. People would call us and saying, I didn't want to be, untruthful. I said, God's got another plan for us. You didn't, mow down the leadership, didn't tell them everything that was going wrong. God is moving us, and I have to go where he's moving us. And obviously, it was that way here because you don't hear any of the garbage, do you? You don't hear Paul telling other people about Barnabas or Barnabas telling other people about Paul. One last thing about this disagreement before we move on. I want us to sit there and I want us to put ourselves in that disagreement, watching them. I mean, we're going to have the utmost respect for these two guys, right? They're going at it. What about Mark? How do you think John Mark must have felt? That these two giant men of God are fighting because of him. Think about that for a moment. He must have been frustrated that Paul didn't want to give him a second chance. But then he had to be blessed that Barnabas thought so much of him to say, I'm going to take him. We know that Mark developed into one of the great missionaries of the first century. And he was honored by God to pen the Gospel of Mark. So obviously something good came out of that, right? So don't ever give up. But apparently Paul and Barnabas, they reconciled their differences and they lettered ministered with each other. Paul mentioned that, as I said, in 1 Corinthians 9:6, if you're taking notes. Furthermore, Paul, while he was quick to make a decision on Mark, he also saw his failings. He also saw his short-sightedness, because later in 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. How awesome that is. If you are looking at who was right and who was wrong, I'd have to say that it was God who got his way, because now two missionary teams went out where they normally wouldn't have done. Think about that for a moment. We look back on it now. What are some of the things that you could see if you were in that place? What are some of the things that you would bring up? Anybody?
If you're in the argument. You
were in the argument, yeah. If you were one of the two, what would you say? Think about that.
If we were Paul or Barnabas?
Yes.
One would be, is that you're just so stubborn and hard-headed.
Yeah.
That would be Paul right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I kind of agree with Paul. I think that if you have a mission like that, you
Very good.
Have to be that way.
Very good.
Absolutely. So I would kind of lean towards Paul, but yet I love the compassionate side of Barnabas. That's
right.
Wonderful, and that's
right.
So needed.
I always have a problem with people not realizing that I'm right all the time.
There you go. There you go. If only, right?
Lovely to be married to that person.
Anybody else? You know you're thinking it. Look at verse 36. And stem it off of this. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas is determined to take with him John called Mark, but Paul insists. Do you think at that moment they could have said, because Paul's the one who got the inspiration to do it, right? The moment he told Barnabas, Barnabas could have said, hey, I dig it. I think that's cool. Can I take John Mark? I would rather he didn't go. Well, okay, I understand. He flaked out on us, but hey, how about giving the guy a second chance? No, he flaked out on us. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go take somebody else with you, and I'll take John Mark, and we'll go over here. And that way we can get it done together. But that didn't happen, did it? And so the question I need to ask us and ask myself, is that the way I've always handled disagreements? When somebody disagreed with me. We can look for those keys to keep that from getting out of control. Now, I believe that God allowed this to be printed in this book. Why? If somebody was going to trying to make Christianity this perfect religion to get into, would you write this disagreement in there? No. Come join us. Everything's going to be great, right? Come on this missions trip. It'll be fun, right? I saw Paul Haslin text me last week, and they're in Baja, California now. They're in Rosarito. Matter of fact, Courtney texted or on Facebook put that they were in Rosarito. I said, go get some street tacos. And so then I read today that there's a massive fire there and they have to evacuate out of there. So what a fine mission trip that was, right? It's not always going to be easy. And I can see Paul's point because you know what? I'm that way. I'm like, no, you can't do this. We got to do this because it's hard. But I'm telling you, you need people like Barnabas. And I think that's why the three of us in California work so well together, because Gino was Barnabas. Can you imagine, Richard, even today when I said, what was it that you were the pastor of? He says, love with three little hearts, you know. He goes, and those three little hearts are the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, but this contention was written in here so that people can see, you know what? These guys were human. These guys were like you and I. Because if we look in the Bible and try to live up to these guys, just read this. I could do that. I could argue with someone. But the key is, am I going to continue to be able to do what God's called me to do in that? So this happened. Barnabas and Mark go to Cyprus. Look at verse 40. But Paul chose Silas and he departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. One group went north and the other one went west. And what happened was all those churches together were able to be encouraged. Now, one important thing to note, Barnabas's trip took the gospel into the African region. It's crazy. Paul's went back, look at your map and see where they went and ask yourself, how would you do on a missionary journey like that, going to all those places and then coming back? I would get wore out. I went to Israel on a pleasure trip and got wore out. I can't imagine going there to do work, right? And this wasn't something that happened just in 2 weeks either. It took some time. Amen. Father, I want to thank you so much, Lord, for this word. And Lord, I do pray.